Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Holla if you hear me. Here we go, turn it up, let's start. From block to block, we're tapping hearts, we're jacking marks. And the punk police can't fake the American. We can have big sun safety. But right now I got my mind set up. Looking down the bottle, I'm but not scared up. Cause it's time to make the payback back. To my brothers on the block, better stay strapped in black. And accept no substitutes. I bring truth to the youth, set a roof for the whole school. Oh no, I'm on the turn the other cheek. In case they can't see it, while we burn the other week. Until then, raise up, till my young black man.
Uhuru, sisters and brothers. The first thing I want to say is that I love you. And the second thing I want to say is that we can win. We will win our liberation. And in order to win our liberation, we have got to think positively. We have got to believe that we can win. And if we don't believe that we can win, we're whipped before we start. We've got to realize what dangers exist, and we've got to look at those dangers realistically. We can't afford to have a subjective, distorted, irrational fear. We've got to look at the obstacles to our liberation coolly and clearly, and to develop ways to get rid of those for us to struggle, for us to fight for our liberation and for our nation.
I'm Asada Shakur. The first time I heard a tape of one of Mamiya's radio broadcasts, it was the first time I fully understood why the United States government was so intent on putting him to death. I make a special appeal to you, sisters and brothers, to fight tooth and nail to save Mamiya's life and to free him from the grips of his oppressors. As you honor our forefathers and foremothers, I urge you to honor our living heroes. When you honor the names of Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, and Malcolm X, I urge you to honor the names of Geronimo Gijaga, Sundiata Okoli, Mutulu Shakur, and Mumia Abu-Jamal. I urge you not to forget and not to betray our living heroes. If we ignore their struggle, we are ignoring our own. If we betray our living history, then we are betraying ourselves. We could not save Malcolm X, but we can save Mamiya. We can save him, and we must save him. Because we love our brother, and we need our brother to help us fight for freedom. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal, free all political prisoners. Let us carry on our tradition to freedom.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
I'm an African.
made me the nigga I am. Uncle Sam came and got me and the rest of my fam. Try to infiltrate and murder off the best of my clan. I'm not American, punk Democrat or Republican, remember that. Most of the cats, you know, be hustling. My mama worked all her life and still struggling. I blame it on the government and say it on the radio. What? And if you don't already know, all these Uncle Tom ass-kissing niggas got to go. Got to go, got to go, got
to go. And the Haitians demanded only one thing of Bolivar. When you're free Venezuela, when you're free Colombia, when you're free Argentina, when you're free Peru, free the slaves. The only condition of which they required of Simón Bolívar. This is history. You can't hide the truth, and if you know your history, you look for history, you will find it. You can imagine the threat that history imposed, that Haiti imposed upon America since 1803. There was nothing that American imperialism, one other thing I must tell you. From this period, 1803, Haiti fought every major European power, the Americans, the French, the Spanish, the Germans, the Portuguese, all of them, trying to bring Haiti down, and not one of them could make Haiti renege on her democratic principles. On that country, there would never be on that territory a slave. Every man, every woman was free. You just make it to Haiti, and you're free. No slavery. Everywhere else, there was slavery. Everywhere else. In the great America, they were, let's not talk about that. So anyway, you could imagine the threat that Haiti posed. American imperialism, all of its life, had only one objective, to bring those slaves back onto the plantation. There was only one objective, bring those slaves back to the plantation. And America, France, all of them could not bring Haiti back to the plantation. Even after slavery was made illegal throughout the Western Hemisphere, and was even abandoned, and emancipation proclamations were read everywhere, Haiti continued to be the guiding inspiration for Africans throughout the Western Hemisphere. It was not until 1915 that American imperialism could put the heels of the Marines on Haiti, install Papa Doc, a scum of our race, one who would bow down to the wishes of imperialism and rape his people without the slightest mercy. And since then, that's where Haiti has been, and that's where it is to this day. And it's certainly not Bill Clinton who's going to liberate it.
We state all these things for you to see precisely the concept in which we're working. We're talking about these pigs, the FBI. Martin Luther King had a great deal of trust in the FBI.
I remember having great discussions with Dr. King about the FBI.
Dr. King, they're punks, chumps.
No, you know, they're constrained here by jobs, Kwame, and they really do their best. And while it's sometimes hard, you can be sure that in the final analysis, their reports will have an effect. Dr. King had great faith in them. Did you know the FBI was tapping Dr. King's phone? I knew they were tapping mine. That's understood.
I've never hid my hatred for them, nor my contempt, nor my desire to destroy them. Not in all my life, not now. As a matter of fact, the older I am, the more determined I become to destroy these things. Consequently, that they should try to destroy me is only automatic. Indeed, the great son of Africa, Ahmed Sekou Touré, says, if the enemy is not doing anything against you, you are not doing anything.
Right. Of course. But if the FBI ain't doing something against me, what am I doing wrong?
If the enemy is not hunting me, that's something wrong. Because I'm hunting the enemy. I'm hunting him to kill him because he's messing with my people. You mess with my people, I kill you. Just as quick as that, without even blinking an eye. Matter of fact, I kill you before God gets the news. No question about it. No question about it.
So I understood the FBI should even stick itself. I understood the FBI would follow us. Our policies were quite more revolutionary than Martin Luther King.
But would you think that they would tap the phones of Martin Luther King?
What is surprising, not too long ago I speak to a young brother.
He said, hey man, ain't you afraid they won't kill you?
What makes you think they're not going to get you before they get me?
Matter of fact, this has them getting you before they get me. It's more because I'm alert. I know they're trying to get me. You think they ain't bugging your phone, but I ain't doing nothing.
No. The FBI knows that I came out of the same conditions that you live in. The FBI know I'm no different from you. So the FBI is not afraid of me because of who I am. They're afraid of me because of who you are. Me by myself, I can't do anything. But us together, why, we can burn 260 cities in America in a weekend.
In a weekend.
Yes. So some people think that the FBI only tap the phones of people who are working for the people. You make a big mistake.
I will tell you from my travels throughout the world, From my research throughout the world, that the American people are more followed by their government authorities than any people in the world, starting with those in the old Soviet Union. Matter of fact, just your credit card company knows more about you than the government agencies know about the people in other countries. Yeah, the American people are totally followed. But they think that the FBI only follows those who the FBI deem to be a threat to the status quo. You make a big mistake. A great big mistake. This is a mistake the king made. Not only did these pigs tap king's phone, but hear me well, they even did... the FBI, such pigs, they will get into your bedroom to cause trouble between you and your wife. You say you love king. Any man in America who tells me they love king must hate the FBI. You can't love God and love the devil at the same time. It's like loving the dollar and loving your people at the same time. I love the people, but I want to make some money. When I make some money, I also help the people.
All right.
I know the line. I know the line. And as soon as they start making money, they forget about the people. I understand it. It's logical. Because you can't make money and help the people. If you want to help the people, there's no money involved here. The only thing involved here is death, torture, and pain. That's all, Jack. The reward is in the doing. You want money, you can't mess with your people. You want money, you can't mess with the liberation of your people. If you want money, you've got to bow down to the laws of capitalism. And the first law is that in order for America to remain rich, Africans must be exploited. That's the first law. So we're not confused here. I've never wanted to make money in my life. Make money. What can I do with it, Jack? Never. No. Is anyone who truly loves King must hate the FBI? You know what the FBI did to King? They used to take tapes where he was in other rooms and take these tapes and send them to his wife so she could listen to them. You know what they used to do to me, these pigs, when I was a young man working in Mississippi? They would call my mother at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell her, "We got your son, we're going to kill him, we're going to lynch him."
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't even tell me about it. It's my sister's room. You know they call at 3 o'clock? Who? She said, "The Ku Klux Klan." I said, "It ain't the Ku Klux Klan, it's the FBI. It's the pigs, the FBI." And sure enough, I told my mother, I said, "Listen, you know, you can cuss nicely. So when they call you 3 o'clock in the morning, you should say some sweet things about J. Edgar Hoover."
Because the capitalist system has cut off our history, they think that we have no history. They really think that our history began in slavery. If you will look at all textbooks in this country, even on the college level, history textbooks, there's nothing said about Africa in these textbooks at all. I mean, Africa is just left out. Like it doesn't exist at all. Just like our history. Because most Africans who do not take time as a conscious people to come to understand their history, in fact, begin their history when the white man came and discovered us as slaves. Certainly, if the indigenous people of this country think that their history began with Columbus, they would be in serious trouble. They who properly know their history know that the indigenous people of this country raised civilizations, the heights of which European powers have not yet arrived at. Consequently, these people have this to hold on to, and they know as long as they hold on to it and fight, they will come back to the grandeur that was once theirs. No people can begin their history in slavery. No people. God has never created anybody in slavery. All people are first created free, then they are enslaved. So that any African beginning their history in the United States of America is a stupid African beginning their history in slavery. And if you begin your history in slavery, the best you can hope to be is a good slave. Indeed, if you begin your origins in slavery, where is the inspiration to fight? A people who were enslaved must know at one time they were free. It is only when they know at one time they were free that they will be motivated by the responsibility which history imposes upon them to struggle to be free again. Any African wanting to know about their history and using their history as a weapon to fight must begin their history in Africa. There's no other place. It was only in Africa that we were free. Thus, it is in Africa that we must begin our history. Once we see in Africa how we were free. Then we will come to see who imposed slavery upon us. We will come to know directly who is the enemy, what must be done to return to a stage of freedom again. Thus, in the struggle for liberation, Africa is indispensable to us as
and
our historical
32 way. Degrees somewhere down here, and 32 degrees is freezing on the Fahrenheit scale. Then they get an honorary degree, the 33rd degree, and they go into the Shriners. And they name their lodges Mecca Lodge, Medina Lodge, Muhammad Lodge, Elijah Lodge, Quran Lodge. These are white folks, white presidents, are members of the Quran Lodge, the Muhammad Lodge, the Mecca Lodge, the Medina Lodge. Did you know that? White judges. Whites who are in corporate America. Even white straw-chewing, tobacco-chewing, snuff-dipping, overall-wearing peckers down in the deep south that will call us a nigger in a minute. They believe in masonry, and they are members of Quran Lodge and Muhammad Lodge and Mecca Lodge and all of these lodges. And they wear a fez with a black tassel on it. A red fez with a black tassel on it. With a star and crescent like this one turned upside down. Not right side up, but upside down. With a sword running through. You see them wearing it in diamonds in their lapel with a sword running through. The sword is there to remind the white man. You have robbed the black man and the black woman of their name, their language, their religion, their culture, their God, their folkways, their mores, their norms, and robbed them of the very power of their own being. And if you ever let the black man know who he really is, if you ever let the secret leak out of who the black woman really is, if they ever know who they really are, you will never be able to control them again. So that will be the hour of the resurrection of the dead, the rise of the black nation, and the fall and the demise of the white man. So they can't let you know who you are. Crazy people. They can't let you know who you are. You are actually a god, black man, and you are actually a goddess, black woman, and we are all children of the Most High God. You can read it in the 82nd chapter of the book of Psalms. Ye are gods, all of you children of the Most High God. It says, arise, O God.
Me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you?
Black power. We want 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 black power. That's right. That's what we want. Black power. And we don't have to be ashamed of it. We have stayed here
And we begged the president. We begged the federal government. That's all we've been doing, begging, begging. It's time we stand up and take over. Take over. We have to do what every group in this country did. We got to take over the communities where we outnumber people so we can have decent jobs.
We will close out with just a few statements. And one of those statements is made by Dr. George G.M. James, who wrote the book in 1954, Stolen Legacy, to whom we owe so much in the field of scholarship. And he said that the main purpose of all knowledge in the ancient world, on page 27 he stated that, was for us to become godlike. The object of all knowledge and of all learning and all material wealth was for us to, as President Imari Obadali says in the book, Foundations of a Black Nation, he says that we somehow have to get to free the land, not just for political power, but to get back to the place where we can pursue the knowledge again, where we can solve the mystery of life and death. We probably would have solved the mystery of life and death had our high culture civilization not been interrupted by these restless people who were unhappy with themselves, therefore unhappy with the rest of the world. No one knows how far we would have went in our pursuit of knowledge. After all, we were living to be an average of 120. How far could we have taken it? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we could have lived at least 1,000 years before even thinking about death. Just think on that. So not only do you have to free the land and help to liberate the rest of the planet Earth for political power again, you have to do it so that all humanity can once again get back on its proper course.
Here we are. Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies and a fly go a moon and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But still the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media villages on TV the picture is. Savages and villages and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a khaki pants and all of a sudden you a say a Indiana Jones. And I think about the gold and think about the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and I've ever known. With the worst on this place that the world can see and it's all that will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like it'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clone. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah, Sabali, that's patience. What the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering the world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhymes. It's no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again everybody would have started laughing. average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the root of the truth that they seek of. Shall I teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning? Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can they resign? Can they restart? Can they make peace? Can they fight war? Can they milk cows even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers. People that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. For now, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it, try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we're consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper,
what?
Gotta have land, gotta have acres, so I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me, sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit, a fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier, since 7 years old, I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Sabali. Patience. Yeah.
If you look at the demographic situations in this country, we are producing and outproducing white people in terms of children. Must understand that. At a rate of almost 3 or 4 to 1. The Hispanics are outproducing them about 5 or 6 to 1. That means the larger part of the up-and-coming population is going to be black and Latino. And these people have already written about the birth dearth. And so what do we have here then, ladies and gentlemen? The destruction of a race and the destruction of that group that would move us toward being a majority in this country. So this has a lot to do with adolescence, and adolescence, of course, is a major point in the development of an individual's life, because it is during adolescence that the self-concept is being developed, that the individual is undergoing an identity crisis, a gender identity crisis, that the individual is dealing with the issues of self-esteem, dealing with the issues of body image, which is the reason why you see them getting caught up in clothes and other adornments. It is the period of time when an individual looks for social affirmation and social acceptance and looks forward to social belongingness. It is a period of time when the emotions are labile and unstable, and therefore the individual is seeking to bring his emotional, sexual, and other drives under control. It is a period of time when the individual is wrestling with social acceptance, wrestling with alienation from the adult society, the society in general, and alienation from itself. It is the time when the person is engaged in intellectual development. It is a time when the individual is asking and trying to deal with moral questions and make vocational choices. It is a time of egocentrism. a time of status driving and being concerned with clothing and cars and other things. It is a time when the person deals with invidious comparisons. That is, how do I make myself look good by making other people look bad? And therefore, when you look at this social system, it strikes our youngsters at their most vulnerable periods of their lives and seeks to transform them. Now, you may say, some of you who are older, well, you know, we wrestled with the same thing. But keep this in mind, you see, that though these issues are issues that may have been a part of my generation and earlier generations, that these issues are taking place within a different social political context. They're taking place within a different socioeconomic historical context. And it is these contexts that combine to determine whether these issues will develop into positive outcomes, negative outcomes, or conflicting and ambivalent outcomes. So today's black adolescents, particularly the poverty-stricken adolescent, exist in a world that is quite different from the world of his parents, very different from the world even of the 50s and 60s, because we have a youth now that is engaged in the post-industrial age. When you dropped out of school, there were jobs waiting in some factory or on some shipyard or some other place for you. Those jobs are not there today. And so you have to recognize that these youngsters are dealing with a different world. The computers weren't there when you dropped out at the time and when you miseducated yourself. These are children who are engaged in an information age. These are children who are engaged in a highly urbanized world. These are no longer farm boys and rural people from the rural South caught up in their rural communities. These are kids raised in the ghettos, in the projects, and in the poverty-stricken areas of the urban cities. These are children then that are raised in an information data processing world, a world of television and mass media, a mass media that recognizes that they have money or that they can get money. And now a world that instead of just selling to adults makes teenagers its major marketing audience and therefore creates desires and wishes and plays the cruel hoax on our teenagers by provoking their desires through TV, through singers, through Ray Charles talking about Pepsi to black religious music, and then does not provide them the means by which they are to get the thing by which their appetites have been provoked to desire. Recognize this then, ladies and gentlemen. Recognize that we are dealing at a time of rising expectations. You see, when we grew up, we knew that there were certain slots for us, and we didn't have to worry about the other ones. Now we live in a world of rising expectations. Be the best that you can be. Be all that you can be. And we see the result of that. These youngsters are living in a time of family dissolution. Remember, the largest percentage of black children up to the 1950s were raised in a two-headed family. Now we are dealing with children where the vast majority of families are single-headed and in poverty and caught in their situations. So don't be too quick to put yourself in this place and compare yourself in your time to the children in this time. You're dealing with a different time. We're dealing in a time of conservative governments and a conservative world situation. We are dealing in a time of world and national demographic changes. These children are growing up in a time, as we said earlier, where there is an availability of weapons so that they may kill themselves, where the escapist drugs have moved beyond alcohol and twister wine and moved into devastating crack, and a type of drug now that didn't involve hustling 50 Cent to get a bit of Thunderbird, but that now must involve constant hustling, robbery, and even death to get a whiff of crack. A type of drug situation and an escapist drug situation that creates a totally different social structure, a totally different attitudinal structure, such then that the black community is held in terror and families are being destroyed and robbed by their own sons and daughters. Recommendations. We have to go quickly here, but I'm going to get it in. You'll have to catch me at another time. Yet, and we had to, but I've got to mention the recommendations at least, because we have to move beyond analysis. So let me quickly just run through these. Pardon me if I'm going fast here. If this is a climatogenic society, and it is, then we recognize that the people that our major problem is not being left out of the American mainstream and being left out of the system. We must recognize that we cannot join a criminal system because we will become criminals in it. Golden Power represents the apotheosis, the ultimate of what a criminal system is. He represents what it means to move up in a criminal society. In moving into that system and becoming integrated in it and assimilated with it, he must now become allied with this criminality. And if that system then is dependent upon the death and damnation of black people, upon the imperial subordination of black people, then those like Colin Powell that move up in this system must also then engage in the death and damnation of black people as well. We have to keep that in mind. You're not moving up into this system as it is unless you're also moving against the interests of black people. And therefore, you have to recognize that the goal of our people in this climatogenic society is to change the very nature of the social system, to tear it apart and to reconstruct it, to bring into being that word that Bush stole from us, a new world order. Our mission is much higher than assimilating into this system. It must be to create a new world. If this climatogenic society creates a sense of powerlessness in our children, then we must, as a people, develop and use our power. We must take power and train our youth for taking and expressing power positively. If this system destroys the attitudes of our people through projection and projecting on them criminality, we must inoculate our children against evil white projections by inoculating them with truth and the truth of themselves, inoculating them with self-knowledge. We must inoculate them against projection and the internalization of negative attitudes by getting them into the knowledge and the psychology and the ways of their white enemies, and getting them to have an efficient perception of reality and remove their deceptions. If they are alienated from themselves and are infused by an evil white spirit who is implanted in their minds and bodies to serve the will of its devilish masters, then we must reclaim our African-centered identity, and we must reclaim an African-centered consciousness, and we must learn to love ourselves and love each
other. That's right. Love ourselves. Black power. Black power. Black power, family. Black power. Everybody listening to this broadcast tonight, you are here live on New Black Panther Party Radio, and you have been here now for 509 days. The New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. You are live here tonight with your host, Brother Katib Sadiq. You were tuned in and you were listening in to our very powerful, politically stimulating introduction on this broadcast tonight. And we say to everybody listening, now is the best time to call in. Now is the best time to call in to 718-664-6398. It's become something of a rhyme these days. And now we see that the work that we have been doing in controlling our narrative, we are seeing the payoff. We will see the payoff. As every night, it is our intent to raise the political consciousness of the masses of our people, to give the fear reports from across the nation of all that is taking place in our nation as well, to bring on those great scholars who have lived lives that have defined the objectives of war, and those objectives that we come up with today, we bring on the freedom fighters of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, our allies, those great black leaders in our communities. You can hear all of that, plus the revolutionary music and all of the different frequency raising and stimulating and all of the tapping on the grave that we do when we drop the ancestors. And we heard in the beginning of this broadcast from Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad and Dr. Bar Shango, and we heard from Dr. Amos Wilson and Kwame Ture, and that's just a few of our great and mighty ancestors. But in the beginning of this broadcast, we heard from our great queen, warrior, black power, freedom fighter, Asata Shakur. And she talked about the fact that we can win and the necessary tactics that we must take and the mindset that we must have, as well as the necessary tactics and things that we must do as we push for our campaign for the freedom of the political prisoners of the black nation. We mean this very humbly that we welcome you to this broadcast. But this is not just any type of broadcast. It's not just any type of radio show. It's the people's radio show. It ain't just any type of broadcast. That means that we, on this broadcast, we look to the people for the participation. We want you to participate here tonight. We want to hear what you have to say. Press the number one. We go live here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Join the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. Go to www.mbpp.org, mbpp.org. Visit the New Black Panther Party's website and join the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. Family, on this broadcast tonight, we will be discussing the war for the hearts and minds of the people. We'll also be discussing the tactics that America uses to manipulate the people, which is the reason why there is even a war for the hearts and minds of our people. Here's the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We believe that the war for the hearts and minds of the people is really the bottom line of everything that we do. We believe there is a constant struggle in the masses of our people, mentally, pathologically, and as well physically, socially as well, between what is right, what is righteous, what is our natural behavior, what is our natural reaction to the world around us, as opposed to the made reaction due to the living in this nation and across the African diaspora. Many nations suffer from the same condition. We find because of these conditions, we find ourselves many times in positions of not really understanding or just missing the mark on what is happening. And we find this because we are constantly lied to. We are lied to through the school systems that create the fools. We are lied to even by our own parents, our own family. Many of us know that they are lied. We know that they are backed and made by the wicked Eurocentric mind of the devil. We know this. But at the same time, we still see these conditions. We know that the war for the hearts and minds of our people is truly the greatest objective of the revolutionary. And you'll find in the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense great programs that are set up, great services that are dealt to the community that bring about such a respectability, such a credit, you know. We give ourselves as servants to the black community here in the New Black Panther Party in the fight, in the war, or the battle for the hearts and minds of our people, for the hearts, because it is in our hearts that we are able to understand. We say the hearts and minds because you say, felt it in my heart, or I my heart is in it. And we talk about how you can give no one heart. Well, we say that because the heart pumps the blood through the body. And without the heart pumping the blood through the body don't function. And we say this because now that's scientific, but in a spiritual sense, we have always believed one God. We've always believed in the concept of spirituality in general. And there was a time where spirituality was our reality. When we look at regaining our African center and when we talk about the war for the hearts in minds of our people, the hearts, because we know at a time it was taught that the heart was weighed on a scale next to a feather. It was taught through many teachings. Famously, we know it was taught in a standard of spiritual understanding of Kemet and all of that which happened with the white man called Egypt, right? And we understand that the heart would then be weighed on a scale next to a feather, and the balancing of the two to see the gentleness, to see the kindness to one's brother and sister, or to see the wretchedness, or to see the oppressing of one's own brother and sister. It would be determined in that time, or at that time, in that spiritual teaching of the great African civilizations of the world. So we know that the heart has always been considered the center of strength for the African. So when we say regaining the hearts of our people, we mean it in a spiritual, cultural, as well as a political sense. Because every army is a political weapon. And every army, it is an attempt to gain the hearts and the minds, even of those who the army goes and colonizes. We say we must regain the hearts and minds, and we are in the war for the hearts and minds of our people, mentally regain the hearts and minds, because we know of the damage that have been caused to our minds. We know of the torture and the bondage that is still up on our minds. So we say to fight in the war for the hearts and minds of our people. We find our brothers and sisters who begin to realize, and as Kwame Ture talked about, how the enemy uses counterintelligence tactics, speaking on the tactics that the American government uses to manipulate the masses. They move into a deeper population of the masses. They zero in to those in the masses of people who recognize all the evils that America does, who recognizes all of the strange, weird, backwards and upside down things that the European does, and then not only suggest these cultural beliefs to other people, but in the case of us, in the case of the African, has used brutality to force these cultural beliefs onto our people. We find that those who are able to recognize this, and at the same time recognizing the enemy, those of us who come from what you heard Dr. Amos Wilson say, the ghettos. Dr. Khaled Muhammad talks about the ghettos, the American ghettos, which we are living in, right? The downtrodden communities, those which are constantly robbed of the human resource, spiritual, and cultural resource here in this nation, right? Well, we find that those who come up in this atmosphere, who may have at one time or not, if it matters anyway, live the life of what is considered to be a criminal. But again, as we talked about a few shows ago, we have to understand the word criminal and the word crime and apply it as it should be, and that is to the world criminal, the number one raper, robber, murderer, colonializer, killer, the mass murderer of Africans across the African diaspora, over 600 million plus lives and counting still today, spilled and in the throes of ethnic cleansing and genocide, and it is all coming from the wicked plans and the wicked devices of the American government and their European counterparts. Those who are able to see this, and at the same time who come up in these ghettos, and they are also able to understand that there must be another alternative, but really a separate form of a social structure. When we look around our communities, and then when we get involved as activists, right, we find ourselves realizing, before we make that break into realizing that we are revolutionary, when moving as activists, we begin to realize that many who claim that they are activists are truly using the pain of their own people to try to prop themselves up, and will use that propped up position to do for themselves what they do not truly desire for their own people, right? So then you realize that it can't be on the politician, right? We can't rely on the politician, truly. We can't rely then on those who claim to be leaders but don't show and prove. When you break into that revolutionary mentality and you begin to develop such a love for yourself, you then begin to develop an escalating love for your people. And then at the same time that you begin to see and begin to design and provide revolutionary programs to the community that speak to the nature of our communities, where many of our black men are homeless, on the street, cold in the wintertime, hot as hell in the summertime. Many of our black women with their children, maybe some even pregnant, are out on the streets, under the freeways, behind and in and around the dumpsters, in the parks. In Atlanta, Georgia, you have a Mercedes-Benz stadium that is only a few years old, and right across the street from the stadium, you see a park full of homeless black men and women, predominantly black men, right? Same thing in New Orleans, same thing across the major cities of America. You find black people who are then, like we see in the new Black Panther Party, or the Baton Rouge chapter of the new Black Panther Party. Again, we're addressing the necessary things that we must do in the war for the hearts and minds of our people, and the tactics that our enemy uses to manipulate the minds, which is the reason why we must be fully engaged in a militant, organized, and orderly fashion for the hearts and minds of our people, fully engaged. We recognize that as we begin to discover these things going on, not just that, but we begin to provide the services necessary, as I mentioned, to those who are out on the street, got nothing to eat, cannot clothe themselves, and not cannot as in not having the ability, but again, not only being in the physical wicked constraints of the American capitalist enterprise, but also going through the spiritual and mental throes of post-traumatic slave syndrome and all of the wicked devices of ethnic cleansing and genocide that are working on an escalated level today. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We must be the ones who provide the services. We talk about providing services that speak to the nature of an African-centered education, right? Talking about the youth, those who provide services to the community. Here in the new Black Panther Party in the Baton Rouge chapter, they have every year now, they've had a fan drive in the summertime, and also just to bring, you know, cool air to those that many of our elders, maybe they live in a residence that don't have central air, right? Maybe they have a condition where they can't be in the heat like that. I mean, we have to think about the total condition of our people. We have to open our eyes and look at the condition of our communities. We are a beautiful people, right? But many of our communities do not match the way they look as opposed to who we are, right? Because we've always come from a great people of great infrastructure. But again, this infrastructure that we're living in and the land for which we once had in it when we were and did establish our great economic districts, we know what happened, right? Mowed down by the wicked capitalists, right? So today we are moving to have these freedom fighters provide these services. So when we begin to have these things come by self-design, we find ourselves not only gaining the respect in the war for the hearts and minds of our people, but we also find ourselves targeted. We find ourselves more targeted than we already are simply being Africans here in this wicked country. We find ourselves clearly targeted. We find ourselves in the bullseye, and it is when you are in the more humble, the more established in the community, the more dedicated, the more honest, the more you move in such a way that you give such great respect to the people, the respect is then returned through reciprocity, you find that the targeting begins to escalate. The American government and its European counterparts use tactics of counterintelligence to try to destroy individuals, groups, and military organizations who stand up in the defense and give services to black people. Not only must we build our black nation, but we must protect the building of our black nation from those who do not wish to see us have a nation of our own, who have broken every law to establish this nation, and they break every law today to keep it established. We tell the truth when we say that here in the new Black Panther Party, we believe that we must be servants to our people in the war for the hearts and minds of our people. We must allow for the people to recognize on their own, but provide the credible information to never disseminate information that cannot be looked into or can't be backtracked or researched, to not disseminate false information, fake news, bullshit, rumors, lies, scandal, and the wicked white man propaganda. We don't need to regurgitate the story that they told about what they have done. We need to initiate our own people's investigations and launch the story in the narrative of our black nation. We find all these things that we have discussed here in the beginning of this broadcast through the escalation of one who will come into the knowledge itself and move into the role of revolutionary, to those who have been targeted just simply because of that. Not simply, but right, but just because of that. But now we must give examples. When are we seeing this happening yet, right? Because we have to examine this almost a timeline or a dispensation of time where we see, and then we see that the American police state, we see that many different agents of their state, they work tirelessly. It has been a tireless work by the United States government, by different agents from different agencies of the pigs across this nation. They have been tirelessly working to discredit being a militant, which simply means being engaged in the war for the hearts and minds of black people and moving in an organized and orderly fashion. Being a militant simply means to be engaged in the war for the hearts and minds of our people and to move in an organized and orderly fashion. That's all it means. What's wrong with that? That sounds like something that would benefit the black nation. And it is, and it does. I mean, it sounds like something that would be great for our people, our children. And it is, and it has been. Why is it so demonized? Why are they using those who stand up today? We give examples. We give examples of what is happening right in front of us. We look at the case of Comrade Ozone. We find there have been many lies. We find that Dude Comrade Ozone is a brother who loves black people openly, you know, and as Brother Malcolm said, we open up this broadcast, our great ancestor, Malcolm X, he says, it is in our attempt to get to the root of our problem that oftentimes we are said that we are dealing in hate. And though there has never been a hateful thing that have come out of our mouth, it's always been truthful. We find in the case of Comrade Ozone, this is a brother who has children and is a family man. This is a brother who works, you know, a job. This is a brother who, in doing all of this, still takes the time and took the time, and we understand that we'll continue to do this, right, to build a character amongst the community, a respectability amongst the community. Through his actions of being on the ground, being there in a militant fashion, being there in an organized and orderly fashion, in the defense of our people, in the defense of our people, for crimes that have been committed by the oppressor. You know, in the case of Brother Stephen Stiles, who was lynched, there was no, in Douglasville, Georgia, there was no effort by so-called law enforcement to further investigate or further give any details or evidence to the family. Brother Ozone calls for a demonstration, right? Quickly, the state abided and went ahead and showed the family what was necessary. But did that happen through a politician? You know, was there a court document pushed through? No. It was Brother Ozone calling a revolutionary demonstration. Black people, brave black men and black women who heard the call. Here in the new Black Panther Party, we heard the call. We went down with Brother Ozone, across the table from the brother, as he addressed the enemy, as we must do many times. We must take the role of not only warrior, revolutionary, but diplomat. And he sat and he checked these damn pigs. And again, that pressure forced them then to give the information that was being sought out by the family. Okay? Now, this, when we're seeing the narrative that the media is perpetuating, is not true. Right? They're trying to create a monster, some radical. But again, we see that that it could be far from the truth. We're dealing with a selfless brother, a brother who in all of what is going on, I mean, remember, our brother initially was it was a crime committed on Brother Ozone, right? Because they have no right, no jurisdiction on any document that's ever been pushed, and it doesn't matter. They have no right. We do not belong then to stop us, frisk us, ask us where we're going, be in our community, hunting us down, preying on us like animals, and hunting us like sport, and that is what they do. And they push, and they shove, and all kinds of what you've seen on that edited version of what they show of the Daytona Beach Pig Department, right? And then they initiated another illegal crime against the human rights of our brother as they went and sent helicopters and cars and all of this across state lines and initiated what they call a manhunt. And again, that is coming from the nature of them, the nature of the American pig state, the police state. It's coming from the nature of the origin, where if you attempt to, you know, leave the plantation, if you attempt to free yourself from the plantation, stand up for yourself, speak out, be a revolutionary or a rebel, they would send all the king's horses and all the king's men, because without their wicked things or the wicked things they do to us to manipulate us, they have no nation. And we're seeing the result of that today. So they are desperate in their attempts and doing what they are doing to Conrad Ozone. Once they kidnapped our brother, they hunted him down illegally, kidnapped him, approached him illegally, hunted him down illegally, kidnapped him illegally, all along committing crimes, right? Then they attempted to, they used wicked tactics, right? And would look like the tanks to take our brother out when he was in the DeKalb County jail concentration camp. And they held our brother in there against his will as a free man, sleeping on a concrete slab on the damn floor, in a cell with urination and defecation coming all out the toilet, forcing our brother when he was there. He is not there anymore. And of course his conditions, as we've heard from him, his conditions have better do, you know, as they could be in this situation. But we know when he was there, we know what they were doing to him. And he was forced. We couldn't even use the restroom, right? We know we know the wicked things that they do, right? And in all of this that our brother is going through, he says, right, showing the beautiful spirit of the African, he says, I would like for us to be peaceful. He says, I'm a peaceful man, and we are a peaceful people. We are in war. So at this time, we are able to look at right now, we are able to look at what is happening right now, the different things that we're seeing in the Black nation. We are understanding that these things then fit that mold of fighting for the war, fighting in the war for the hearts and minds of our people, and also as we examine the tactics used to manipulate our people that drive us to fight in the war for the hearts and minds of our people. We have to get these things straight, right out of the gate. Brother Ozone has committed no crime. It is the American government who continues to commit the crime. It is these pigs who continue to commit the crime. No charges are pressed or have been pressed on them for the murder and assassination, beating, torturing to death of Brother Ronald Green? When they lied and said in 2019 that the brother's car crashed and it was a fatal car crash, no good lying devil? No, in fact, it was then 2 years later, this year, we were able to see the truth, and we knew that the truth, what the truth was, but it was far more brutal. It was far more wicked. It was far more deceptive and subversive as we seen them drag Brother Ronald Green by the shackles on his ankles across the concrete floor while he lay there face down, helplessly, defenselessly. We want to talk about a criminal. We better check the definition and really take the political education seriously. We have to be able to identify these folks as murderers of our people and deal with it accordingly in all realms, on the ground and legally if we have to, if we find that that is the avenue, or we find ourselves in a position where that is the avenue. And this is where our brother Conrad Ozone is. And we say this, and we say this because we understand that we, every day our lives, we're dealing with this. This is not something once that we get on here and say. In fact, every night you've got on here, and the report that I've given has been dead on similar every night, because we're not going to change the narrative to please or entertain. We will not. It is simple as we have said it. The brother is innocent. And his government is using our brother, our dear brother, to create a culture of fear. They're attempting at least to create a culture of fear. What is only right for us to do, it is only right for us to take on the spirit of the liberation. When the brother, you know, when the brother says, I'm a peaceful man, we are a peaceful people. We are a people who come from a peaceful state. We are also a people who at the same time cannot take peacefulness as complacency or comfortability. Peaceful and then in this sense, we must determine it as patience. We must determine it as patience and strategizing, right? Waiting for the correct time to do what it is that's necessary for our freedom and liberation is right now. So there's nothing we should be waiting on. Peaceful, patient, we will take that in the same sense, strategizing, upping our defense, continuing to protect our people. We are a peaceful people, but we are constantly harassed, constantly murdered, and constantly targeted. Here we have a brother who is openly being persecuted in this nation. Brother Ozone is innocent, and our stance every day is only going to grow stronger. And it goes the same for all the injustice in this country. We are not a people, speaking of us in the New Black Panther Party and those who share the same warrior mentality. We do not care and are not afraid of this government. We don't give a damn about their damn president. We could care less. America's not almighty. Really have never been. And at a time now where they're moving so desperately, because they have nothing but those who continue at a time where the mentality should be to revolt, should be to stand up, should be to build for ourselves those who choose otherwise, you will give your master power. But we will not subject ourselves to this goddamn funky-ass caveman. It's not going to happen. We will continue to tell the truth. We have no problem standing up for the things that are righteous. And right now, there is an open war on those who do just that. We didn't go to Florida. When we went to Florida in the response of the injustices that had been, we didn't go for no damn vacation. We weren't going to dip our toes in the water in Key West and drink damn taki-taki. We didn't go to look at no damn museums or go to no concert. Engaged in the war for the hearts and minds of our people, we went engaged, fully engaged. We seen before we went tore us up to see how the Nemours Children's Hospital in Orlando, Florida allowed for Lil Naeem to die and did not provide the emergency assistance that would have saved his life. No, in fact, no, they let him die because he's a little black baby. And they do not care for our children the same as they care for theirs. They let him die because he comes from a family of revolutionaries. Huh? They let him die because they some cold-blooded murderers and killers, these damn hospitals. When we went there, the same time, after that, we know Brother Ozone, we knew he would be transported, humanly trafficked. They call it extradited to the state of Florida. We went down and did our people's investigation. We were not met with shaking pigs, trying to shake our hands and reading different parts of the constitutional, what rights we have as far as they are concerned. No, that's not how we were met. So let all the bullshit, you can have all the permits you want. White man don't love you, nigga. You can do what you want. You can work with him. You can have everybody around you, surround you. But when you allow for the enemy, or when you allow even for the pig to be amongst those who are saying that they are revolutionaries, you're dumb from the start. And you make a fool of yourself. And the people laugh at you. We were met, which in the way that we would expect to be, by the enemy. We stood in front of the Cobb County concentration camp jail there. We stood there and they drove different types of pig cruisers and vans round and around the block, turning the sirens on and driving ambulances up and down the street. Damn ambulance wasn't going to get nobody. Wasn't no fire. Here comes the fire truck. Sending out folks who looked like they were trainees, black folks, who are on their way to being mercenaries for the American police state. That's what they was doing, right? We went back to brief and to give the briefing on this broadcast. We were surrounded then at the last 15 minutes of the broadcast that night. We were surrounded by gunfire in every direction for almost an hour and a half. We went to the scene of where the original crime was committed by the Daytona Beach Pig Department against Brother Ozone. When we went there and we left there, briefly after we left, there was a whole squadron, pig cars, 8-9, pig cruisers, vans, helicopters, pigs, every damn where, on foot, going all around looking for the freedom fighter, looking for the revolutionary, not to shake hands, not to ask if we want to get a permit, but they was looking to get a reactionary response from a revolutionary people. We must highlight these things because this is the truth. It's real in the field. When we talk about the war for the hearts and minds of our people and when we are engaged, we must be engaged in a way where our training must match down to our operations. We must train in a way that we perfect our strategies and tactics, because we cannot be caught out here slipping when there is an escalation of open warfare against the freedom fighter. All 12 general orders are in effect, have been in effect, and that's not going to change. Basic instruction that we should know by now we don't is because we need to get our head and our thumbs out of our asses and understand what we're dealing with. And take ourselves seriously and be fully engaged in the war for the hearts and minds of our people. As we talked about providing the services for our people and our communities, we should be meeting on a regular. We should be able to provide these services so that our people can clearly see that we are on their side, that the services that we provide do not have a side effect of so-called white supremacy. And the services that we are providing allow for our people to begin to bond themselves. And we bond with them. And that is where the respect and credibility comes from. And you don't got to convince nobody. You don't got to convince black folks. The Panther is in the hearts and minds of the people. Those who are just joining the new Black Panther Party, those who are in the new Black Panther Party, but maybe you need a little reminder. And that's all right. I mean, this is a political education broadcast, right? We don't got to convince nobody. What you're going to find is that you are the beneficiary. You are the beneficiary of great work that has been done and continues to be done today. It has not been done by no damn magic. We ain't abracadabra and sprinkled no damn dust. It has not been done by an extravagant, immaculate, major capitalist budget. Hadn't happened. No. In fact, it has been done by humble Black men and Black women who do not make excuses on why we cannot do something that we have begged the white man to do. Brave Black men and Black women who sacrifice in the war for the hearts and minds of Black people throughout the communities of America. We see these Black men and Black women gaining respectability, not because they are harming the people, not because they hooking the people on something, drugs, not because, but because they're in the community as we must be, dealing with the affliction that we face in the war of attrition that our youth face between one another, as the sections of our community have been divided through wicked concepts or devices of ethnic cleansing and genocide, to where one group of our youth don't want to have a problem with the other group in our community for whatever reason, whether it is due to a territorial beef, whether it is due to a street beef or a gang beef or whatever damn beef. It is something that can be reconciled. It is something that can be solved. And it is something that we should be doing when we talk about engaging in the war for the hearts and minds of our people, not sitting back talking about how black-on-black violence is so bad that if how the white man don't respect us if we don't respect ourselves. Get the hell out of here. That's another excuse on why you're not going to do nothing either way against the enemy or for the embedded of our youth. We have no time for small talk and negativity. We don't give a damn if the white man respects us. We could care less. Doesn't even come up in our damn process of thinking. He is the devil. He is immoral. Have no values. Have no soul. Only thing or people that we care about getting respect from is our own people. And if we don't have enough respect for ourselves to be the ones that go out into our community and deal with what we call black-on-black crime, which is really white-on-black crime with a different face and a different taste, but it is white-on-black crime. As many of the minds of our youth have been twisted up due to not only the enemy's narrative, but the narrative that we push, or the lies that we tell, and we don't realize the emotional and the pathological things and attacks that we may launch when we talk about, we teach the Santa Claus, when we teach the Easter Bunny, when we teach the stupid-ass little white leprechaun, when we teach these lies, the Jack and the Beanstalk and all this, it puts this mythological so far out, the white Jesus, the white God, the Christian, when we force these orthodox religions on a young mind that is trying to conceive on their own, what is God? What is spirituality? Instead of providing the cultural narrative, we find that many times there is no talk of this at all. The child just goes to school and that's it, right? And then we find this conflicting thing begin to happen when as Dr. Amos Wilson talked about, when the child is to a certain age, we say even 13, 14 years old, not only are you but still developing as a person, but you then realize that your development as a person, it becomes more important to you what others think, how others see you. You begin to want to be more socially involved on different levels. Because when you are from a baby up until about 9, 10 years old, when you begin to be 13, 14, 15, of course, we all know that your interests will change. You begin to want to be, and you begin to think and self-design on how you are going to inflict on the world society. And if this is not true, Why then is it not at these ages do we see these things begin to happen? Family, it is because we have to provide the narrative, give the culture a capability, teach the culture of you are a strong black man, you know, who is able to create, who is able to invent, and whatever their talent and interest is, to push that for our young brothers and sisters. Get them involved in coming together, not just to discuss whose territory is which territory, not just to discuss what's the hottest this or hottest that, but to discuss the tactics that are going to be used so that they influence society as black people first, and how black people will benefit from it only. If we do not do this, then are we truly being engaged in the hearts and minds of all black people? And we can just go and say no. We can just make it a rhetorical question. We're not. If that is not in on the top of the list, the defending and developing of the black youth. So again, we never will just come with no bunch of problems. We're given the solution. That is a tactic of that you can use in this war for the hearts and minds of our people, family, is working a program for the youth that teaches a capability mentality, that teaches a mentality of a cultural perspective that doesn't wash out the black or say that the black started in slavery or say that the African is swinging from trees. The truth has to be taught. It has to be taught from the beginning. We cannot have a fear then as the adult because, see, we have gone then through the stage 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 30. We're now in our 30s, 40s, or late 20s, early 20s. So we're moving into these stages. We can't get into this thing then where we have this pathological problem. We care so much about what people who are outside of the relationship between a child and parent, what they're going to think. Because if they're going to hear it, they should hear it first at home. That should be the mentality. It is a growing and a development and an increasing process for all of us to have this complete constructive change. And we recognize that nobody is able to snap their fingers and do anything. No, shit just don't work like that. But we're talking about a strategic, giving strategic strategies because we understand that it's a buildup, right, that we must have, things that we must introduce. Then the education, the primary education cannot come from primary school. The secondary education cannot come from secondary school. Nor can the higher education, a universal education, come from the high school or the university. The universe must be taught to the children in the home, and it must come from the parents or those that are in the home who have the authority or believe in they have the capability to teach these things. This then make sure that when our children go into the society and they get to the age or the time where they begin to say, I want to, what am I going to, or how am I going to inflict society? They are fully then confident in their skills and talents because you inspired them. We inspired them. They are fully then more confident and fully confident. And then what you will see is that they will bring other young black folks who will be thirsty for that same type of confidence. It is the draining of confidence that happens when a child who doesn't, we do not think like Europeans. So we can't be taught like Europeans. We don't think like Asians. Where is this myth that Asians are just these smart people? I mean, just because their head's big don't mean they're smart. What is intelligence? What is this myth that have come up? Because they're able to more clearly regurgitate and repeat directly a European mentality out of their mouth and write essays and do mathematics that is a twisted version of what is original to us. Because our children are not of these people, we find that they have a difficult time in these so-called learning environments because the environment is not inducive or conducive to learning at all, only there to control the social interaction. Think about it. Prepare the social interaction for the society of white America. Most schools start about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. Where do we get the phrase 9 to 5, right? You got to wear a uniform. Some schools you don't, some schools you do. Some may not have a strict uniform, but whatever. But in a sense, everybody dressed the same. Everybody starts at 9, you get out about 3, 4 o'clock, right? Okay? They are trying to mold our children in waking up at a certain time, going to sleep at a certain time. You know, that is a very, it seems like it wouldn't mean much, but sleeping is spiritual. Waking up should be at least spiritual, right? So we see that in every political thing they use, there's also a cultural and wiping the African out of the school system as anything that influences society, and there's also a spiritual by attempting to control the very behaviors and the pathological behaviors of our children. So now we have these clear examples of the tactics that are used, and that we have even laid out some tactics we could use, we must then create community programs that teach an African-centered education and in our homes be tireless with the teaching of a cultural perspective that is from a Black narrative, that puts Black civilization in the forefront, because we cannot even talk about history of civilization if we are not talking about Africa in a positive light. And anybody who does otherwise than that, of course, would then be promoting so-called white supremacy, right? So we find, family, those of us who step into these roles, those who move into the roles of educating for African-centered education in our communities, they are targeted. Right? Those who stand up, it is a necessity that we have a military mentality. We are far past the time of a comfortable concession mentality, where the furthest we will go to think about military is the U.S. Marine or the Navy. Again, it comes back onto the parent. It comes back even onto the adult, the auntie, the uncle, and all the influencers of the generation that is to come. The influence should not come from Instagram. You know, they call these people influencers. Whose mind is being influenced by their influencer? Whose mind is being twisted up in their influence? We must be the influencer. So the influence should be to make sure that the military aspirations are not coming from a place where we're saying, oh, well, he just went to the military for this reason. He don't, you know, he didn't. But when you go, you are making a dedication to do at any drop of a dime what America says. And even if they say go to war, we want you to kill this person right here, and that person turns out to be African, you must do it, or you will find yourself in prison or worse, especially if you are over there. What is this? Where we have fought in these wars with the false promises and pretenses of freedom and different other political concessions, they have not come through. We are far past the time, and we're not going to sweet talk this. We have no respect on any level at all for what has been going on, for what has been the mythology that our children should join the United States military. And in fact, here in the new Black Panther Party, we believe that Black men and women should be exempt for military service entirely. We did not ask to be the burden bearers of all the issues and problems and conflicts that the white man creates for himself in this country. We did not ask for this. Therefore, we should not be expected on any level to fight wars that we do not start, and to fight wars that in the winning or losing of that war will only benefit us in one way, more terrorism. More terrorism is the benefit of all the wars that America has fought, is more terrorism on Africans. And in fact, a great majority, if not the mass majority of wars that have been fought, have been against African nations, against melanated people, and against us. And in fact, the longest war that has been fought is the war between those whose rightful place in society, culture, political, and spiritual acknowledgement have been robbed from them and have been ripped from the very root of our origin. Right here in America, we find ourselves in a continuous war and battles, which these battles that constrict and exploit us only let us know that we are in a constant war of attrition. And we must fight like hell to remove ourselves from these conditions and positions. We did not get in this condition by ourselves. In fact, we didn't have nothing to do with all of this wickedness that is going on. No matter what it said, no matter if who sold who to who and who tricked who, we know ain't no damn Africans put their hands out and say, please take me against my will for my children. We know that much. So all of the debate really many times is unnecessary. We must focus on what's happening right now here in current day America. We must examine the necessity and we must examine the strategies that are necessary for engaging in the war for the hearts and minds of our people and supporting those who do so because they are heavily targeted. We want you to support, right? But the decision is on the people, right? We are the vanguard of the black nation. When we see that our comrades are being targeted, we zero in, right? Of course, now what we are seeing is that not only are we being targeted, but they're attempting to do, as we played many times in this broadcast and our great ancestor, Malcolm X, when he talks about the attempt to use us as political footballs, as political pawns. And we will not have that. Now, Conrad Ozone is not a political pawn. He has been made a political prisoner due to the wicked scheme of these damn pigs in this nation. If all you can do is push the information. But for those who can support the brother financially, do so by visiting justice4ozone.com. justice4ozone.com. It is a link that was set up for the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Again, because it is a brother. We have our brother who has been engaged in a war for the hearts and minds of our people. It is very simple. We are engaged in the war for the hearts and minds of our people, so we must assist. Okay, it is very simple. It's not complicated. Our people are downtrodden and economically exploited. We must identify who is doing these things, and we must deal with it. In the midst of that, we must provide the programs and services that will create the infrastructure for our own black nation. We must defend ourselves. We're moving into a time with a biological warfare and the manipulating of social conditions in this nation is becoming more violent and vile. We may even find ourselves, if we don't get up on some self-sufficiency, hungry as hell as America is moving into throes of famine. And it don't look like famine everywhere else because everywhere you go, you see food. So you say, how could there be famine if all I see is food? The damn food is poison. They vaccinating the damn bananas. They vaccinating the damn bananas. You know, put the damn vaccine in the fruit, right? I mean, these people are wicked, aren't they? Don't you agree? We cannot eat the food that they're growing. They're growing it and not making it in a laboratory, genetically modified. We must put the seeds in the ground and grow our own food family. We must become self-sufficient at a time where there are more violently, frequently, constantly, and more deceptive ways manipulating the social condition against the benefit of our people. This is what we must do. Not only must we grow our own food, but that food that we know that we already have, or that which we can get a hold of, food that is good for us to eat, and some food that can last for a long time. And we must store that food in preparation of any time we may not have that food, but in fact, if we are growing our own vegetables and growing the things that we can use for our immune defense, not only are we preparing and stocking up our food, but we also are growing the things that we can use that will not only benefit our stomachs, but will benefit our overall immune response to the global planned pandemic of the COVID-19. So we telling y'all these are strategies that we need to lock on to and get them going in our communities, right? If you don't got a community garden, you can take an individual garden. If you don't got no room to grow no garden outside because you ain't got no outside backyard or in outside front yard, damn it, get a pot, get a pan, get a cup. Damn it, get something. If you can't buy no damn soil, go outside, look up under your feet and get some dirt. That is how urgent it is. But of course, it doesn't cost much to do the things that we're talking about. So you wouldn't even have to go to those extremes, right? We must have plans that we are able to enter and leave our communities safely and in many times off of the main roads or for where they are located. We're talking about survival and different tactics and strategies to go against and counteract against the tactics and strategies used against our people, right? We need to understand the highways and byways and streets and everything. We need to have, food is important. But I'm going to tell you something. You may get thirsty too. And at the same time you get thirsty, you're going to have to be hygienic. It may come a time where there is no water flowing through the damn fountain, just flowing out fluoride, chemically infested water, flowing out the damn poison drains of America. There may come a time where that stops. I would say that we need water filtration systems as well to protect ourselves from the poison and the radiation and the fluoride in the water. But as well as that, we need to stock up on fresh spring, fresh alkaline water. We need to stock up on that because you're going to need to drink it. And at the same time, you don't want to wash your black behind. We're talking about in a time where the escalation of manipulating the social conditions of our people is becoming more and more violent. We know you agree, right? We know you agree. We know you're writing down these tactics and you're working out your budget. And now some of us already are doing these things, right? So you're just sitting back like, yeah, you know, we already knew that, right? But for some of you, you're writing these tactics down and you're looking at your budget and seeing how many cents and pennies and nickels you're able to move around so that you can get these things, right? These are things that will start these plans at least, right? And if you have more ideas and more things that can help our people, we say press the number one here every night because we want to hear from the people. We're saying that the preparation must be done to prepare for a situation that you may not be expecting. And if you don't think it's going to happen, what the hell is the argument? Because if you prepare for something that ain't going to happen and it don't happen, then you still have the resources. It wouldn't matter if it did or didn't. We are telling you that you would be a fool straight up to believe that America and all that they're doing with this planned pandemic is not openly readying themselves to do whatever is necessary to stick people with whatever it is that they're sticking into us. And we even went into the very scientific breakdown of what is in this damn wicked vaccine. How do you say there's no extreme going from the vaccine to how we must prepare for self-sufficiency? Because even before this damn COVID-19, we've been talking about preparing for self-sufficiency. We've been talking about arming ourselves. There is nothing wrong with arming yourself. Get out of this soft, weak, flower ass. You gonna just use the forces of God or you. Let me tell you something. The white man uses pistols, M16, Glock 9s, tear gas of a high grade to burn the eye socket of black people. They got new batons where they let them. They just throw their wrist out and the thing come out like an antenna and they beat hell out of our brothers and sisters and the black youth who go out into the streets to stand up for the injustice in this nation like we've seen during the mass protest or the mass demonstrations and unrest that we've seen in this country when we've seen them murder Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta and murder George Floyd and murder Austin Sterling. They use dogs, German Shepherd dogs, beasts and sick them on the people. They use high-powered tasers and tase you in the back and disrupt your whole physicality, mess up your back for the rest of your life. They use their fists, but goddammit, their number one weapon is they Glock 9 or they M16. What the hell is wrong with us to go and tell the people, don't worry about the white man gun. You don't need a gun. Just have faith in some religion. We better get real and get militant and stop praying. You better arm yourself. It is not only just to arm ourselves, but we must also be willing to take the time to understand weapon safety. I mean, that is number one. A gun is not something to be flaunting and showing off and to your friends and shit. It is a weapon, finalizer. It brings the end to a problem where your life is being threatened. It brings an end to anyone who comes and tries to take your life from you. And it has been that way since his introduction into civilization from the great African genius. Right? So we understand that this ain't no toy. You got to have a lock, a good place to put your weapons, especially if you have children, to be able to lock them up properly. And they need to understand how it works. We all need to understand how they work to clean your rifle or your pistol, break it down, put it back together, try to do it quickly, as quick as you can. We need to be able to clean it properly so it always operates properly. But weapon safety is number one. It is number one. Train yourself and join in group training of other black people who are training to fire and operate clean and have safety protocol on their weapons, because the masses must arm themselves against this murderous regime. These are the tactics and strategies that we must use when we talk about the hearts and building the hearts and minds of our people, and us being engaged in the hearts and minds of our people, and at the same time, being, you know, invested in looking at the tactics used by America to manipulate our people. We appreciate everybody for listening to this broadcast here tonight. You can catch us same time, same black place, New Black Panther Party Radio. Call in every night, 718-664-6398 to New Black Panther Party Radio. You can send a donation our way. You can do it through Cash App, $BlackPowerDollar. We love you, family. Again, you can listen here every night. You can check us out on YouTube. You can check our YouTube channel. I'll search the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. The New Black Panther Party YouTube channel, like, add, and subscribe, comment to all of the content that we have on YouTube, and we will catch you tomorrow on our broadcast as we continue to bring the truth every day here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Black Power Family.
Religion keeps us divided. Politics keeps us divided as well.
Right.
A nigger Republican and a nigger Democrat. Nigger Republicans don't get along with nigger Democrats.
Right.
And nigger Democrats don't get along with nigger Republicans.
Right.
Economics keeps us divided. Socialism, communism, capitalism, imperialism, expansionism, globalism, globalization. There's so many ways to divide us.
Right.
So you say, when you talk about picking up the gun. We can't pick up the gun. The white man got a bigger gun. Well, yeah, he may have a bigger gun, but that's no reason for you not to stand up in self-defense and fight for your freedom and independence and take your God and your gun. Your God and your gun to fight this cracker. You say, well, no, it's really economics. Economics for food, I can say to you, if you got a dollar, the white man got a bigger dollar.
That's right.
He prints the dollar.
That's right.
He got the machine for the dollar.
Yeah.
Huh? Some of you say, well, it's the masses of our people, and the movement will grow because their knowledge of our struggle will grow.
You say you go to church?
You say you believe in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible say before Moses could lead his people to the promised land, they had to go through the Red Sea.
That's right.
You thinking they crossed the water, waded through a puddle, stepped over a pond, and they could swim a little bit. That's not what the hell the book is talking about. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad say the Red Sea represents war, bloodshed, and revolution.
That's right.
War, bloodshed, and revolution. Before you can get to the promised land, you got to go through war, bloodshed, and revolution. Revolution is the solution.
All right.
Whatever you are, be a revolutionary.
That's right.
I don't give a damn what you are. Be a revolutionary.
That's right.
You're a teacher? I teach. I'm an educator. Well, that's fine. We need some nigga educators. And we need some black ones, too.
That's right.
You're an educator? Be a revolutionary educator. Teach revolution in the classroom. Take the subject matter of the curriculum and teach revolution with that subject matter. You say, well, I'm a doctor. Well, I'm a lawyer. Be a revolutionary lawyer.
Right.
Be a revolutionary doctor.
All right.
Be a revolutionary at whatever you do.
That's right.
You hip hop? Huh?
Yeah.
You rap? Be a revolutionary rapper. Bust revolutionary rhymes.
Right.
That will uplift your people. You got them wearing their pants down halfway across the crack of their behind.
Right.
You got them showing their drawers pulled way up here. You got them looking like damn fools all over the place. You got that kind of influence. You are holding up the damn revolution. If you got that kind of influence, put revolution on the minds of your people. Be a revolutionary rapper.
My nigga, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. This is real nigga celebration. This is a dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla waitress. This the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the fucking matrix. Red rose in the gray pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platform to explain it. He frustrated, so he get faded. Like deep down inside, he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real nigga reparation. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. Some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
Spent my whole life thinking out the box. Boxing homies, 3-on-1, got DP, but I ain't dropped. Turf on me, here I come. Spin around the block, they broke on me. Said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage, playing Sega, daddy smoking Sherm, mama playing spades, catching vapors. Grandma said I get some Jordans for my grades. That's my baby, when she died, my heart broke 100 ways. I spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a lost shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it. Minor setbacks for major comebacks, that's my favorite. My nigga L said you do a song with Nip. K-Dot, he a better grip. I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips. About flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4 yard living, giving to false imprisonment. Listen close, my nigga, it's bigger than deuces and foes, my nigga. Since elementary, we close, my nigga, you're straight like that. I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands with bad plans. Prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Am. I'm at the premiere, politicking with Top Nip and Snoop. Damn, clock watching the way we move. Dedication.
If it ain't congratulating, it look like hey. If it ain't congratulating, it look like what Nip said.
Hold up.
Blah.
This ain't entertainment. It's four niggas on a slave ship. These soldiers and spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore to their amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious. Lockers behind gates but can't tame us. Used to be stay safe, now stay dangerous. Cause ain't no point playing defense, nigga. That's why I dove off the deep end, nigga, without a life jacket. Couple mils for the world, all my life.
bring it back so it's no taxes. Royalties, publishing, plus our own masters. I'd be damned if I slave for some white crackers. I was mapping this out, I hit the heist backwards. Topping out the 85 and Reebok classics. Read a couple marathons just to get established. To make it happen, you got to have dedication. Hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.